This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. Old Trailblazer's kind of weary at this time. Been down the road a long time, bringing these studies on Revelation. Kind of get weary sometime because folks won't turn to the Lord. Do you know the greatest desire that a God's child or God's messenger has is to see folks turn to the Lord? Yes, not for his blessing, but for the blessing, for your blessing, my friend. So we've come down to the end of the study. We're looking at the epilogue, the little summary, if you will, about this book. Verses 12 and 13 of that 22nd chapter, bear out these thoughts. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work. Listen now, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and enter in through the gates of that city. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is to come quickly demands that we give time to the study and the preaching of this book. Then in the 14th verse, we come up on another beatitude. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Listen, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed. Who is blessed, my friend? They that do his commandments or that wash their robes. In Revelation 7:14, we find these words. These are they that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The washing or the cleansing is the great qualification for heaven. In Ephesians 5:26, we find this expression, washing of the water by the word. Then in Titus 3:5, according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Then in 1 John 1:7 we find these words, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you know that this morning, my friend, tonight, whatever? Do you know your sins are under the blood? We see from these scriptures that there is no doing or keeping the commandments that can save any sinner without this washing and cleansing by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then, according to 1 Corinthians 6:11, we are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And according to Revelation 1:5, Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's our hope, my friend. That's our hope of heaven. Revelation 22:14 speaks of us, of those who are blessed as being washed in their robes or their garments. You cannot separate a man from his clothes because his outward garments portray to a great extent the character of a man. So the attitude of an individual towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth portrays the heart of the individual. Christ said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed are they which wash their robes. Blessed is the individual who looks for his Lord. He who knows the imputed righteousness of Christ, which is the wedding garment, is constantly looking for the return of his Lord from glory. In Hebrews 9:28, we read, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Then in Titus 2:11, this same truth is set forth. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of the great God and our Father, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Then, in 2 Timothy 4:8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. From these and other passages we learn that the attitude of looking, waiting, watching, constantly longing in the heart for the coming again of the Lord is the attitude of a born-again believer. When you see an individual who claims to be saved take a passive attitude towards the second coming of Christ, you can know that he does not know anything about the new birth. Listen, any preacher, Bible teacher, who said, "Well, I don't understand much about his second coming. I don't give much thought to that. I preach the first coming." He doesn't know anything about the new birth. When an individual has been brought down under Holy Spirit conviction and has been made to see and acknowledge his guilt, his sinfulness, his wickedness, and that he's a hell-deserving sinner, and that he's and sees the darkness and has been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God, baptized in the body of Christ, made one in Christ, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. When he's been adopted into the family of God as his son and made a joint heir with the Lord, then that individual is taken up with Christ, who is his salvation. That individual longs for, waits for, looks for, prays for the Son from heaven. Unsaved religionists are not concerned about the coming of Christ. That's the reason he says that blessed is he who waits for the coming of the Son of Man. Notice how much these closing verses in this last chapter are like the beginning of chapter 6. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. In Matthew 1:21 we read, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Now let's look at the 17th verse, and we find that Spirit says, "Come." Come. The Spirit is leading for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in his revelation and unveiling. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make known Christ to the heart of the believer. And the bride says, "Come." In the heart of every blood-bought, born-again one is that constant cry, put there by the Holy Spirit, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." It is just natural for a born-again believer to cry after his Lord. It is a longing of his heart to see the one who died for him. Then he goes on to say, "Let him that heareth say, come." What the Spirit and the bride say, let everyone that heareth say. In other words, redemption lies in the coming of Christ. And the awakened sinner who comes to Christ must and will learn to say with the Spirit and all other born-again believers, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, fulfill your promise and plan in my life. I bow to thy sovereign will." The awakened sinner coming to Christ learns that the Lord is sovereign, that he comes to want the will of God done in his life. Therefore, he picks up the refrain from other born-again believers and says, come quickly, Lord, come. So, let him that heareth say, come. Then he says further, let him that is athirst come. He that thirsteth after the water of life, he that longs to be a partaker with other believers, let him pick up that refrain and cry, Lord, come. Yes, he that has an appetite or a mind for Christ and a desire to be saved, let him come. You out there, you tell me, Pastor, I want to be saved. Trailblazer, I want to be saved. Come. Come into the fellowship with the Spirit. Let him come into the fellowship of every born-again believer. Let him begin to look for and pray for the coming of the Lord. Oh, my friend, I've heard folks say, don't ask the Lord to come, I'm not saved. Don't ask the Lord. Finally, he said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add anything to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God says here, you shall not add unto the word that I have commanded you, and you shall not diminish from it. Every word of God is pure. Woe be unto any individual who adds to or takes from the word of God. No man has the authority to add to or to change or take from the words of this book, because he said, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. The Apostle John takes up the refrain and cries out, amen, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, let me ask you this question. What else do we have to look forward to but the coming of our Lord? It is the promise of all promises. The coming of our Lord is the crown and consummation of all promises. It is the coronation of all our hopes. His coming is the sum of all prophecy. It is the heart of every true prayer, come, Lord Jesus, come. It is our prayer at this time as we bring these studies to a close in this glorious book of Revelation, spoken in the language of the common man. So with bowed heads, may the Lord sanctify our hearts, and may the grace of God rest upon each one of us day in and day out. My friend, I don't know how to tell you how to express how much I appreciated these studies, but I want to know how much you appreciate them. Will you write me and tell me? Just tell me. And if you haven't done it, pick up your Bible as soon as you get a chance and begin to read there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Don't go fast. Don't go hurriedly. Just take your time. If you'd like these studies in print, you write me and say, Trailblazer, send me those package of studies by Pastor Shelton. They're not my studies. They're Pastor Shelton. I took them, gleaned from them, and the Lord gave me my own version or own words to say. And just taking God's word, we learn. We go to school to learn. I sat under Pastor Shelton's ministry for 30 years, learning, 20 years, learning. And I do that time in and time out. I learn from God's book, and I hope you do too. But let me ask you this. Would you just think with me about your soul? All of these words are true. The Bible said these words are true and faithful, and they're not to be scoffed at, my friend. Don't scoff. Don't sneer at God's word. Oh, my friend, it's the highest form of blasphemy to say that God's word is not true. But I wish you would sit down and write me a long letter and say, Pastor, I want to just tell you about myself a little bit, how I came to know the Lord, or how much I want to know the Lord, and how blinded I was, or how foolish I was to think that I could go to heaven on a mental decision, or trust Jesus, or shake some preacher's hand. I've learned that none of that will do. Oh, my friend, none of that tradition that we spoke of, none of those things help. But the old Trailblazer's heart is heavy for you. I can't awaken you. I can't save you. But I can tell you, Christ died for sinners. The scripture says he came not to call the righteous. So don't try to work up a righteousness of your own. No, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then on one occasion, some of his adversaries told his disciples, said, your master eateth and drinketh with sinners. Did you know that's the greatest compliment that they ever paid him? And then I think about the Lord, how he suffered. I don't have time to go into all of that. But you read there in the four Gospels how that he went to the garden and prayed, great drops of blood, sweat. And why? Because he had looked into that cup. That cup is our sins. The cup of sin of all of his elect. The consummation or the gathering together of all those sins in one cup. And he looked there and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Not my will. The Lord didn't choose to let it pass. He took it there to the cross with him, took my sins and buried them there in the tomb, and rose again and left them in the tomb. Well, you said, where are your sins today, Trailblazer? They're all gone. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're hidden behind the back, like the little boy in the Sunday school. The teacher asks, anything that God can't see, boys? And they looked around at each other, you know, and kind of puzzled a little bit. And one little old raggedy fella in the back held up his hand. He said, okay, sonny, what is it? He said, can't see my sins, teacher. They're all under the blood. Can you say that? Would you pray for the old Trailblazer? My heart's heavy for many of you. Call me, write me, come see me if you can. But if you would, we'll begin another series shortly on another topic. So if you would, remember my mailing address. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. We're going to give you a new mailing address shortly. But also, my website is radiomissions.org. And then our bookstore telephone number, 225-664-8658, and we'll be glad to send you a new catalog if you'd like. So until next time, goodbye and God bless you.